Hey y'all, hey! This is Lolita E. Walker, and I'm so excited to be here with you one more time. This is episode 23, and we are talking how to shake the shame of being you. Deep, right? Yes, we are going all in. You ready? Let's go.
Welcome to Coaching, Cocktails, and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker, the podcast that coaches you up while meeting you exactly where you are. Grab your water, tea, or something stronger, and allow this podcast to help you feel the power in your pause. Come on in and join the conversation. Let's go.
A super shout out to all of you all who are returning. I already know you have pulled up your comfortable seat. I know. And a hey to all of you all who are new around this kitchen table. Welcome. We are so excited to have you. Around here, we break things down into three layers. The first is all about coaching. Now here, just leaving you with a couple of nuggets just to get you thinking a little bit differently. Next, it's all about the cocktails. But it's not about what you're sipping on, no. Although there is no judgment, it's more about celebrating the greatness of who you are when you show up. This is where I give you a cheers for all of who you are. And then there are good old-fashioned conversations. Now, sometimes it's just you and I, or I have a special invited guest. And today, our guest is Kiran Bassey. She is a powerhouse, but she has a story to tell, and I am so excited that she has decided to share it on Coaching, Cocktails, and Conversations. Kiran is a brown woman, a Punjabi woman from Northwest India, who was sexually harassed in her first grad job. Since moving away from investment consulting, she has worked in a couple of different roles, finding her passion and her purpose really in recruiting and building diverse, inclusive, and psychologically safe environments. And you'll hear why this has become so important to her. Some of what we talk in this episode, y'all, is not only the shame of being you, but how does that look culturally? How does that look within a corporate environment? How does that look to your family with a different ethnicity than what the culture is that you're working in? And how does it feel? How do you take on all of that shame? And better yet, how exactly do you shake it? Yes, we are getting to all of that, and I cannot wait to have those conversations. But first, let me leave you with a couple of nuggets for coaching considerations, okay? Right after a word from our sponsor.
Pure romance is where you go when you deserve the best of you. It's where you splurge a little and treat yourself to something new. It is love season, and Kanika McHerson of Pure Romance is offering the listeners of Coaching, Cocktails, and Conversations a special savings when you text the phrase kitchen table to 530-763-3648. Whether you are shopping or you want to host a party, she is offering everything from bath and shower to beauty and body, lubricants and creams, and everything in between. So check out Kanika McHerson at bit.ly/youdeserveyou. Yep, that's bit.ly/youdeserveyou, because it is pure romance.
Today's affirmation is, I am the greatness that others have yet to see. Whenever you are ready to wake up each day with a bit of intention, go ahead and grab your 40 deck of affirmation cards at lolitawalker.com/shop.
It's time for some coaching and a little bit of soul work.
How to shake the shame of being you. Now, how many of us have been in situations where
we felt bullied or harassed? We felt like there was some banter that was going back and forth inside of our work environments or around our friends that we didn't really feel comfortable with, but we didn't really say anything. We took on all of this unnecessary shame and decided in several moments not to share our story, not to share it because we were embarrassed, because we wondered if something was our fault, how it would look. But what about the core essence of ourselves? And in today's episode, when we get to conversations, that's exactly what we're talking about. Some of what you'll hear later on is also about the notion of killing your confidence. And when you're not telling your story, What impact does that have to your mental health? What impact does that have to your psyche? And so the considerations that I want to leave you with today are 5 in the acronym of SHAME. What if we were able to shake our shame by first sharing our story? Sharing our story. And I want to offer you this notion of writing it down. I was in a Clubhouse talk the other day. I had mentioned celebrating your small wins. And the person who was also in the conversation was saying, I don't really write, but what I could do is record. Absolutely. How are you capturing your stories, though? What's happening in your life? Are you journaling them and then sharing it, right? Oftentimes here I talk about, if you don't talk about your story, how can someone help you? But in these aspects, it's, if I don't share my story, how do I know that there are not other people going through the same thing that I'm going through? How do I know that there isn't somebody that is waiting on my bravery, on my commitment, on my confidence to stand up for myself? So now too, they can gain the courage and the confidence to also stand up on their own behalf. Sometimes our situations, sometimes our stories are really being shared for others versus ourselves. But sometimes we put this weight on our shoulders and we just try to hold it because we have all of these things going through our minds. And so this ask for your consideration today is really about sharing your story. The H is about harnessing your strengths. Oftentimes, we don't pause. If I was to ask you right now in this moment, what are 3 strengths that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have? What are they? I want you to write them down. Did you struggle? Listen, if you did, you would not be alone. Oftentimes when I ask people to share 3 strengths that they have, they oftentimes struggle, but I'm here to let you know that you have them. You have them. And even if you can only come up with one, ask someone for the other 2. Hey, what is it that I'm strong in and why? Like, what did I do that made you really say that? Because I'm really seeking to understand, seeking to learn, seeking to pour back into me. So that's that H, S-H. The A is all about acknowledging your worth. Sometimes when we're going through different situations, we are pushed down so far, like a little ant crawling around. We're just pushed down so far. And with that push down goes our confidence, goes our courage, goes the commitment that we've made to ourselves, goes our affirmations. All of that stuff gets pushed down right with it. But what if we were able to acknowledge our worth? What if we were able to look into the mirror and say, hey, Lolita Emmanuel Walker, you are worthy. Let me help you harness your strengths. Let me talk about them. Who are you? How are you showing up today? What if we gave ourselves an opportunity to do just that? Don't forget, we're talking about how to shake the shame of being you. That M is about making space to walk into your vision, making space to walk into your fear, making space to pick up that courage that is right beside you and walk right into it. Yes, it is going to feel really uncomfortable. Yes, it might come with tears. Absolutely. But guess what? When we are shaking the shame, we're doing all of these things together. We are sharing our stories. We are harnessing our strengths. We are acknowledging our worth and we are making room. We are making time. We are making intention on moving forward. And then that E, you've heard it before. It's about exploring the endless possibilities that are in and around you. Because you are in a situation right now, it does not define you at all, which means that guess what? You can pick up and take all of these things, all of your strengths, all of your courage, all of your wisdom, all of the greatness of who you are to somewhere else. What was our affirmation today? I am the greatness that others have yet to see. Just because somebody doesn't see it right here on this train does not mean you cannot move over and take a detour and add some other people onto your train. Listen, if you're following me anywhere on any social platforms, then you have heard me say before that you are the conductor aboard your train. And sometimes, go ahead and say it with me, you have to open up the doors aboard your train, okay, and let people off. Sometimes we have to make room on our train in those limited seats for people that are pouring into us so that we can move forward on our journey. And that is where we are chug-a-lug-a-lugging to, okay? Does that make sense? Those are the considerations that I want to leave you with today. When we talk about you holding on to shame and you feeling stagnant, how to shake the shame of being you?
It's first of all, knowing that you can always rewrite, reaffirm, and reclaim the power of who you are standing right there. Just because you have encountered something in the past, honey, that does not mean that that is what is defining you or that is what you need to hold on to now. Absolutely not. We can shimmy and we can shake and we can go ahead and move to the right. You got to know it. You are shaking the shame of being who you were in that instance. Absolutely. Because you are reclaiming the renewed you. And that is what I want to leave you with today on this coaching. Remember those five. S-H-A-M-E. We're shaking it.
It's time for some cocktails.
What are you celebrating today? What are you celebrating? Our first cheers goes to Allie Ryan 08, who wrote a 5-star review. It reads, Lolita's message and work in the world is so needed. I love how intentional she is with her daily affirmations, how generous she is with her knowledge, and how empowering she is with her belief in not only herself, but in all of us. Highly recommend tuning in, opening your heart, and welcoming her powerful and much needed voice into your life. Thank you so much. I so appreciate that. I do not take these reviews for granted. So if you pulled out any nugget out of today's conversation, I want to give you a cheers for taking it in and ask you to please leave a 5-star review over there at Apple Podcasts or directly at podcast.lolitawalker.com, where you can also leave a voice memo. Love it. All right. Here is another cheers to each of you for taking in those 5 considerations of shame. S-H-A-M-E, and committing to sitting in the power of your pause and think about what shame are you holding on to. That's that soul work. So I'm giving you a cheers. Let me see. I am giving a cheers to my 90-year-old grandma, y'all. Let me tell you, Grandma B walked up 14 steps today. And I am just so excited because she was excited. So we are absolutely celebrating tonight. That power, listen, when that happens, then you know that we can do absolutely anything. There is no excuses. So those are the cheers today. I say yes to celebrating all of the greatness of who you are when you show up right here. If you are not already following me on Clubhouse, make sure that you come on into Coaching Cocktails and Conversations right there on Clubhouse. We meet every Saturday, 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we also have some good old-fashioned conversations. And the other Coaching Cocktails and Conversations, I already know you know. This one, however, is for ladies only. This is right there as a Zoom cast, which is every other Wednesday, opposite of when these podcasts drop. So there are 3 ways for you to engage in Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. So this is a cheers to all of you all who show up.
It's time for some good old fashioned conversations.
Hey, Kieran, welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. How are you today?
Hey, I'm really good. Really excited to be here. A little nervous, not going to lie, but really, really excited to kind of open the door to this conversation.
Yes. Well, you know what? Don't be nervous because we're just going to have an amazing conversation, just you and I, and just a couple people listening in. So we're just going to relax and get into it. Today, we are talking about how to shake the shame of being you. I want to share this story that I actually met you through LinkedIn. I read an article that you wrote and I was just so touched. And I said, I have got to have her on this show because I thought that what came through it was vulnerability, determination, strength, and really just uncovering the notion of who are you? And as women, sometimes we hold all this stuff in, and I want to just talk about how to shake the shame of who it is that you are at different times in your life. Yay.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, it's interesting that you're just like, I met you through LinkedIn.
It's so true, right? That's where we connected.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just a new way of, I feel like LinkedIn's really become such a long way in the sense of it was a platform for only speaking about professional stuff, whatever the hell that means. And now is just a platform where we speak about so many vulnerable topics, whether that's mental health, whether that's oppression, racism, sexism, whatever it may be. people are opening the door to have bigger, provoking conversations that actually require a lot more critical thought than, hey, I'm looking for a new job. It's coming with so much more vulnerability and so much mm-hmm. more conversation around why that person is looking for a job.
I always say personal growth yields professional success. And how can we not talk professionalism without talking us? It's the whole us that we bring to this platform. So I love that you said that and really lends itself right into our topic today. Yes.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and let's get started.
Yeah. So I'm Kiran and I am a recruiter. And the reason I kind of define myself from my job is because a lot of my career has been very closely tied to my own self-worth. I have had one specific experience, which we'll get onto shortly, that has shaped my career since then. And that was my first ever job as a graduate at a company called Aon, big dog American company. And I went in as a graduate investment consulting, was there for 18 months. And during that time suffered bullying and sexual harassment. At that time, I didn't know that that's what it was. It was after I got away from that toxicity, had a moment to reflect, went into another job, I kind of just processed all of those feelings and realized, like nearly 2 years on, that that's what it was and that's what I coined it as. And I owned that and spoke about it because I realized so many women go into these companies, actually men as well, not knowing the line between banter and harassment. I wanted to share my story because so many people were like, oh, wait, that happened to me as well. I just thought it was banter gone wrong, or I just thought it was a joke. And then they actually started to reflect on their own experiences. That was a pinnacle moment for me on LinkedIn. And after that, I've just started being more vulnerable and speaking to my own space and my own experiences and hoping to use them as catharsis and those moments where I can kind of share my story, but also have it resonate with other people.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's doing just that. Like I said, when I read your story, it just popped out and had so many different kind of awakenings in different pieces of my mind and challenging myself as a leader, challenging myself as an individual, and also challenging myself to how I lead others and how I might have come across to others. So I think let's listen to your story. From that, we're going to be able to pull the topic of culture, the topic of biases, and the topic of going beyond as the amazing individual that you leaped into being.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to going into this journey with you. I guess my story starts with Aon. I was sexually harassed during my time there, my first proper job. I didn't know what was going on at the time. And I just kind of really want to reiterate that in that present moment, during those things that were happening, I had no idea what they meant. And it was really starting to take its toll on my confidence. Why are people just always coming at me? Why are they always saying these kind of inappropriate things to me? Why am I feeling uncomfortable? Is it me or is it them? And then it actually got to a breaking point for me and I ended up crying to someone in the team. And this is like months and months on. And she ended up taking it to HR and raising it with my manager and all this sort of stuff. And I wasn't ready to have that conversation, to be honest. So even though I knew she meant well, it wasn't her story to tell. It was mine. I kind of just went with it at the time, felt like I needed to just turn into a bit of a robot and churn out all the memories that came with all the bad experiences. But I think the pinnacle moment at my time at Aon was that I went to my manager and confronted him about this and spoke about it. And when you go and confront someone in a senior position to you about something like this and saying, these people in our team that you know as well as I know are making me feel this way, and they're caught off guard, you immediately think, oh, maybe I should have warned them. Like I really turned it and shifted it more towards me being the problem in every single action I took. And I ended up saying all these things to him. And then he just asked me one question that literally messed me up, to be completely honest. He said to me, are you sure you didn't bring it on yourself? And when you are already thinking, oh, I should have warned him in advance I was going to talk about this. You're already justifying the behavior. Like, maybe they're saying this because I talk about my relationship quite openly at work. Maybe they think that they can step over a line with me or something. You're already trying to justify their behavior. And when you have someone else in a senior position to you that you're supposed to look up to, who's supposed to aspire you to grow, turn around and blame you for that behavior, it can really kill your confidence, kill your mental health. And that's essentially what it did to me. I'm still battling with my confidence. I'm still battling with my mental health. I never experienced anxiety and depression before I joined Aon. I left with both of those things, and I'm still coming to terms with them. And that's got another layer to it culturally, which we can get into a bit later. But when someone else tells you to be ashamed of who you are, whether it's implicit or explicit, we all as women anyway have those thoughts going through our heads. People have those thoughts going through our heads. What if I did it this way instead? Or what if that wasn't the right way to do it? Because we just need to build up that belief in ourselves. And when someone else doesn't have that belief in you and tells you essentially in some shape or form, it can just mess everything up.
It can really shape who you believe you fundamentally are. We're talking today about shame, and this shame just kind of shaking that the pure essence of you. And I think it's interesting that, you know, when you think of shame, it really is a noun and a verb, right? When you look it up, it's a noun because it's this feeling, right, of distress, of this humiliation that you're feeling because of the act of someone else. That's when you're shaky. That's where in my first episode, I talked about standing on the foundation of you and how you can be shaken back and forth and how are you going to kind of remain steady. And then in that verb, sometimes I don't even think that we recognize the power that our words have, the power that our behavior has, and the power that is us doing the act of shaming someone else. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because whether we know or we don't know, I think the takeaway here is to really own your words. And when you own them, you can shift differently, right? It's a choice.
Right? Yeah.
So how did you begin to, well, first, thank you for sharing that story, because I know that it's not easy to share it, to reflect back. But talk to me a little bit about how did you begin to shake a little bit of this feeling of shame?
It was coining it for what it was. Because as I said, at the time, I didn't know what on earth was going on. Mm-hmm. I just thought people were being a bit not so nice to me. And then I joined another company, and it was a couple of years on. They were so honest in their approach to culture and feedback with each other. Everyone wanted everyone to do well, and feedback was never considered confrontational. Like, I would constantly have conversations with my manager there where he would openly tell me things, and I never took it personally. I took it as a room of improvement, a room for growth. And that was the mindset of the company and the people that they brought in. That just created a platform for me to be more vulnerable. And then another thing as well that happened externally from the workplace, I was listening to a Sam Harris podcast on the Me Too campaign. It's ironic that I'm about to tell you a white man told me I was getting sexually harassed, and I believed him, but I couldn't believe myself. When he was speaking about harassment and even the little intricacies of what it could be, and it's not just as simple as a man jumping out of a bush or as rape or as physical assault, it can even be the way someone verbally can make you feel uncomfortable or unsafe. I just started, the dots just started to connect, and I just started to realize what it was, and I openly declared it for what it was, and I started to say it more to my friends, to my, and we'll get on to family later, but to my friends, to my colleagues, and I told them, actually, I worked at this place, and I was sexually harassed while I was there. And then I just thought, this isn't enough. I need to tell my story. Part of shaking it off was actually processing all the finer details, because that in itself, that whole process of writing that blog post was very lengthy. I went back and forth on it. I had someone helping me write it and reviewing it and stuff. And she even said to me, some of the stuff you're saying in this is implicitly trying to place the blame on you, because I and I'm going to say it now to you, there was a time where I used to dress in snug clothes. And then after that, I started to dress in looser clothes because I just stopped identifying well mm-hmm. with my own body. Mm-hmm. And I actually put the onus there on me and was saying, and I said, I wrote down in my first draft something around along the lines of, I started to wear looser clothes to hide my larger than average breasts. So I was already trying to make, like, implicitly blame myself mm-hmm. and think because I had larger than average breasts, that was a excuse for people to sexually harass me. And she helped me see that I was doing that even in my writing. And when I started to delete that, I was essentially unlearning it.
Yes. Yes. Excellent. And powerful, right?
Yeah. So I started to delete those sentences, rebuild them in a way that was me taking ownership back of me and my body and what happened. And then when I posted it, that was the revelation. That was the kind of climax of the moment for me. And when I saw the traction it got, I saw the people who could resonate with that story, the people who reached out to me privately on LinkedIn and were like, we don't want to come forward on your post, but we hear you because mm-hmm. we've been through something and we don't feel comfortable talking about it yet. Those were the people that helped me go further with it.
Yes. Wow. You know, as you were saying that, it made me think a couple of things, and there's so many nuggets that you left in there. I was just trying to jot down a couple things. But the first that I heard you say is something I talked about the folks who were at the kitchen table before you came on, was the notion of sharing your story. And how scary and frightening and fearful that is to take a step out and share, because oftentimes we put that blame back on us. We want to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And sometimes it's the world plus the people at work, plus the people at home, plus the family. All of that is oftentimes too heavy for us to carry. So the power of our voice and sharing our story, I thought that, you know, you sharing that was really, really powerful. I think also just acknowledging that this shame may be something that is coming to us, or it may be something that we're giving out, and your friend helping you to really see inside of your story, like, hey, wait a minute, I see you taking some of this stuff on. Let's talk shame and what that means and how you were sitting inside of it. So I think that was powerful too. Now, as you shared this, because your culture is different, so I'd love for you to talk about how your culture might have played a role in you feeling or hiding, as you said.
Yeah, definitely. We were always going to get onto this point. I think this was the connecting post, right, for us.
Yes.
But essentially, I am a brown woman, more specifically Punjabi woman. So my family are from the north. West of India in a place called Punjab, and my dad and my grandparents all moved from India to England, and a lot of those kind of cultural values came with, I'm not British in the same way as someone, my partner, for example, Josh, a white man who grew up in the UK as well, I'm not British in the same way. I still have those values transferred from my Punjabi roots. And some of those values are amazing and I love them, but there's some that are so detrimental to the people we are in our community. And I want to get into that. There is a huge stigma around sexuality and sex. And for example, you could be watching a program and someone starts kissing someone else and we all just panic and try and give the remote to each other and fob it off and try and run out of the room. And that in itself, in positive, healthy dynamics, was still a taboo topic. So how could you approach someone in your family to say that something similar in a negative, toxic environment happened to me, or someone made me feel uncomfortable, not through kissing me or something like that, but they said things to me that made me feel uncomfortable, because the very essence of what they said, regardless of the context, is still a very taboo topic in our culture. Mm-hmm. And then there's the level of mental health. You have to have a certain resilience when you are an immigrant coming into another country and you don't have any money to your name and you're just always taught growing up, I came here with nothing and I've built myself up here and stuff, and are you like, get on with it, was a constant resilience thing that I think comes from a lot of people of color in their communities. It's this stigma around mental health where they just think, well, we've dealt with all these hardships that were very different to the hardships my generation and the generations after me are facing. Mm-hmm. There were those layers as well where I just didn't even feel comfortable talking about the anxiety and depression because a lot of people in my community didn't get it. I don't think we even have a word for it properly, to be honest, mental health. Mm. But then B, just not being able to talk about what happened either.
Yeah.
Were two very huge weights that I carried. So I sent a post to the world on LinkedIn. Yeah. Yeah, I blocked everyone on my family. Mm. That I was connected to or that could stumble across it. And I kind of, one person slipped through the cracks that was in my family, and she messaged me and reached out, and I didn't even register what she said, even though she was supporting me. I was just like, please don't tell my cousin, please don't tell my family, keep this away from everyone. We can talk about it if you really want to, but I don't want to go any further than this. And that feeling and that kind of, you kind of suppress those emotions for so many different reasons that you're eternally battling, which we just discussed.
Yeah.
But then also this level of, I don't even feel like there's anyone in my community I can go to because there was a very good chance I could have been blamed by them as well. And I've already been blamed by this manager. I do not want to be blamed by my mom. So I'd rather just avoid the whole thing.
Wow. Okay. It's so interesting because I know, one, you're not alone. Yeah. And so still today, do you feel that you are hiding shame?
To be completely honest, yes. I'd say I've had so many years of learning this behavior, right? I'm still going to be unlearning. And there's definitely times where I fall off that bike.
Yeah.
But the important thing is I'm trying to get back up. So what happened recently is my mom came across my blog. I don't know how she got this clever to be able to Google my name and then find my blog. Mm-hmm. I never expected that to happen. And the first thing she said to me was, I think you need to take it offline before anyone else sees. Mm. And the afterthought was, are you okay? How are you doing? Mm-hmm. And there were mixed emotions there. On one hand, I was like, wow, she actually asked me how I am. But then there was also the emotion of, but that came after trying to hide it from our family. It was something really difficult to grapple with. It created another layer where I, from a lot of time, have compartmentalized the fact that I'm a woman that was sexually harassed. But now I'm starting to understand the intersectionality of me being a woman and the community I've been brought up in and the kind of feelings that have come with that and the stigmas that have come with that as well.
So as you spoke to your mom and shared your story, as we talked a little bit about before, as you shared this story, could you see a shift in your mom receiving your message or receiving your comments? What was the thoughts there?
No, to be completely honest, no, I think she just let me do what I wanted to do. When I said, I'm going to keep it up, there wasn't any kind of pushback there. But to see a shift in her mentality, I mean, if I'm unlearning this behavior at such a young age, in comparison to her, that's going to take years of like just trying to process it before unlearning, because she spent how many other years? I don't know how comfortable she'll feel with me divulging her age, but like 50 or so years, right?
Right.
Unlearning that behavior that she learned in that period is just, it's wishful thinking on my part to think that she shifted her mindset.
Yes, I get it. So as we talk culture, bias, and beyond, I think going beyond peace is, a couple of episodes ago, I talked about this principle I have called AWA, which is your abilities, your willingness, and your action. You possess the ability to do something. You might have this willingness, hopefully you do, but you need those two in order to shift to action. That's why they're kind of a trifecta. And sometimes, whether it's age or whether it's culture or whether it's bias or whether it's whatever the heck it is,
we have this gate up, these limiting beliefs that prevent us from our willingness to want to move forward. So I love that you said, listen, the reality is this is a generational thing. It's been here forever, and it's going to take some time to kind of unlearn that. And I think whether that's family, whether that's the culture in an organization, or whether it's us acknowledging what that is. I feel like this is good. We talk culture, recognizing what the culture is. And this is like ethnicity culture, as well as corporate culture we talked. And then as well as like your personal being, who you are. If I were to ask you this, how would you define who you are? Like, who are you? How would you define Kivrun?
I really struggle with that still to this day. And I think it's always going to be changing. It's forever changing and forever evolving, because there was one moment where I was like, I'm just a woman, and using those words exactly, like really kind of diminishing who I was. And then now I often kind of, when I explain who I am, I'm a brown woman, but now it's become this situation where I actually like, let's just hone in on it a bit. I'm a Punjabi woman. Mm. And I'm a Punjabi woman who was sexually harassed and has come out of that. The reason I really go in there is because there's so many different layers, and I don't believe in bracketing that every brown woman has the same experience. I mean, mm-hmm. heck, not every woman have that same experience in the workplace, right? But I really compartmentalized being a woman and being brown, and the kind of layers that I experienced through being brown as well as being a woman in that situation. Mm-hmm. So it's now important for me to own it.
Yes, I love that. What I heard you say is that you drove more clarity in the descriptive of who you are as an individual as you discovered and rediscovered who you were. I love that. What I'd love to ask you is this. I'd love to do this quick soul work exercise with you. What are two strengths that you know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that you have?
Empathy. Mm-hmm. I have the ability to read what people are feeling, how they are, how to kind of connect with them, even if I can't find the connecting factor at face value. Mm-hmm. And then I'd also just say being fair and being mm-hmm. inclusive is probably one of my stronger suits because of that experience. Mm-hmm. I think I've got to a point now where I'm trying to create environments around me where people feel psychologically safe, just because I know that that hasn't been something I've experienced before. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's now become something that really defines the, like, not just my very existence, but everything that I'm doing. I want it to be for making sure that people don't ever feel that way as long as I'm kind of around, if that makes
sense.
That's
good. That's good. And then what is one opportunity that you're still working on? It's not yet a strength, but the more you work, you are getting yourself all the way there.
It's that impatience to want to be this person that has fully shaken the shame. Mm. And I think I'm gonna get there, but I'm not gonna get there by every day wishing I get there, you know? And that's why I'm starting to slowly try and rein it in and understand where I can learn and where I can't learn and where I'm gonna have kind of difficult moments and things. But there's this impatience in me where it's like, I want to just jump there sometimes. And it's not always possible.
Right. Absolutely. Now, let me say this to you. What if when you described yourself or talked to somebody about who you are, fundamentally, like deep down, it was, I am empathy. I am inclusive. I am patient. I am Kivrun Bassey. And let me tell you why, because this is what you just said. I am empathy because I have this amazing ability to read people and to connect with them. I am inclusive because of all of the experiences that you have already been a part of. I am patient because I have shaken shame, and that's the journey you're on, but you are declaring it. What if when you ended, it was, I am Kivrun Bassey, because you stand in the power of who you are. That's the foundation that you stand upon. So anytime any of these things shake, guess what? You come right back to that, and you know your why. How does that feel? What does that sound like?
Oh my God, that feels so empowering. And it's making me so emotional, because it's that thing, right? It kind of it actually goes full circle when you have someone saying to you, you shouldn't believe in yourself, when you go to them saying these things have happened and I'm uncomfortable. And now it's a moment where it's like, these are kind of happening and I'm having you affirming that. And it's just, it's interesting that it's just gone from that conversation where it's like, I don't believe in myself. Yeah, I don't believe in you either. To this conversation where I'm starting to believe in myself, and then having you just say, no, you should be fully believing in yourself.
Yes, because it's there. Just, it's there. And it reminds us that there's so much power in our words. So one, the environment we put ourselves in is a choice. But then two, us sitting in the complacency of thinking something is normal, when in our minds, we know we wouldn't necessarily put ourselves anywhere like that, that is causing us to feel this shame or experience this shame. But how many of us are sitting in a space where we haven't yet begun to even shake off the shame because we haven't yet acknowledged? Oh, I love that. You have been so, so good. There's always this piece that I call a come as you are. And I'm just going to throw three questions at you. And I just want you to come as you are without thinking. Okay.
Oh God. Okay. Let's try this.
All right. No, it's easy, easy peasy. The first is, what is one strength that you have that you didn't always believe was a strength?
I'd say being creative. Mm-hmm. I think I have always had this ability to think outside the box. I just never channeled it, or I didn't have the environment to thrive with it. Until more recently, I feel like I've started to be creative more in my writing, more in the way I speak about things. As I said, there's not many people on LinkedIn that don't fit the mold of talking about professional things. Mm-hmm. And I just thought out of the box there and wanted to put it on a platform where it wasn't noticeable usually, A, because it was in the workplace, but B, because people don't talk about these things that happen in the workplace. I'd say that that's just been something that I've really latched onto. Whether it's in writing, whether it's in drawing, whether it's in the way I speak, whether it's in the way I think, I'm always trying to evolve that person because I've come so far from who I was before.
Yes. Well, I see your creativity come out in your writing. Absolutely. It's storytelling. And I also see it in the words that you say. So yes, I love that you didn't really consider it as this amazing strength, but yet now you are starting to feel it and see it. So powerful. And I think it's part of discovery as well. Okay. Question number two, what is one barrier that still stands before you today?
Self-confidence. Mm-hmm. Without a shadow of a doubt, I think that moment I said to you changed my life. Mm-hmm. And the reason I said it that way is because it still has its impact every now and again. I'm still really correlating how I do my job with my self-worth. And I've latched on to them being two things that have to exist together and intertwined. And I'm starting to slowly realize that my worth is not determined by my job or what I'm doing. But it helps that the person I've become is because of those things that existed in the workplace. It's a bit of a bittersweet one, that one.
Yes. And you know, the beauty of barriers is that we can knock them down on our journey, right? Okay. We can leap over the hurdles. We can look back in our rear view and be like, oh yeah, I crushed that barrier right there. I'm so far over it. And I think the power of, again, you sharing your story, you really harnessing on the strengths that you definitely do have, acknowledging really what you bring to the table in this notion of self-worth, right? Like that pause that you're sitting in is so amazingly inspiring. And someone listening today is really starting to think about how they're going to begin to shake the shame of being who they're sitting in the complacency of, because that's not who you are. Like, let's be clear, that's not who defines you. That's not how you're defined. You are you, and you can create the narrative of you. That's what I love it so much. Okay. Yeah. And then our final question is, we always give a cheers here on Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. And this is a cheers to one of your wins. If you were to leave a cheers to the audience here today, what would you say?
Wow, that's a powerful one. I'd say cheers to being you, being a person that will tell their own story in their own narrative and from their own lens and their own identity, regardless of all the stigmas, regardless of the community that they belong to, the culture that they belong to, the upbringing they've had. Share your story, let the world know, because it goes such a long way with so many different people.
Ooh, that is so good. I am so glad that I was able to have you on the podcast today. Listen, this has been such an amazing episode. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling empowered. I think when you broke it down for me and just said to me, what if I said this about you? It just made me realize, and it doesn't necessarily mean I need validation of others, but it just made me realize there's something sitting in me that is yearning to come out. And it feels like you've awakened that in me and made me realize it's there and exists in me. Whereas sometimes I can feel like it's outside of me, you know? Because a lot of the things that have happened have been outside of me, right? But I feel like I'm now feeling so empowered to just to own those values that I have and own those kind of traits and work on that self-confidence and unlearn that my worth is determined by work and all those sorts of things. Honestly, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you.
This is great. I'm so excited. So thank you for that share. I think that this is exactly what I talk about, and I'm talking to the other people around the kitchen table now that's listening in, is when I talk about my book, The Intersection of You and Change, it's literally us standing at this intersection wondering which friggin' way am I going to go? I'm at this change in my life. Am I going to go left, right, up, down? Where am I going to go? Am I going to go back and sit in the complacency of what just was? Absolutely not. You're going to move forward. Yeah. And now let's talk about the struggles that you might have inside of that space. And I think that making ourselves vulnerable allots for that time. So I love working with my clients. And even through this podcast, I just get so much out of it because my superpower, right, what I firmly believe my purpose is on this earth, and I love it so much, is literally pulling out all of the greatness that's in you, reframing exactly what it is that you already know, and then helping to kind of release, poke on, and release this unleashed potential that is sitting inside of you. So thank you so much. Now, how can people keep in touch with you if they're looking to kind of talk to you about a couple things you've shared today?
Yeah, I mean, LinkedIn's always a good one. I can't promise I get back to anyone like that. It's been crazy. Right. And I know I haven't gotten back to a lot of people recently, but I think that's a great place to connect with me. Follow my journey if you want to learn more, because there's going to be more vulnerable posts coming out. And then also just hit me up via email. If you want to share your story with me, that's something I'm always wanting to listen to. Like, I have a platform of people listening. I'd be a complete hypocrite if I just didn't care about anyone else's stories, right? And that email is gkbassey1@gmail.com.
And we will also put it in the show notes for all of you all listening. So thanks so much. And we look forward to chatting next time.
Yeah, thank you.
We have concluded another episode of Coaching, Cocktails, and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker. Connect with me at lolitawalker.com for speaking, coaching, and my book, The Intersection of You and Change. Next time, bring a friend. Cheers!